car line to come and get food once a week at the food pantry is now a mile long.
Oh,
wow.
I'm telling you, that is the way to shine. And what's the name of your church, Pastor Tom?
Calvary Community Church, Manton.
What a great message. I'm telling you. It's what, you know, it's what, again, not speaking politically, but President Trump said to the faith-based people, he said, this is your finest hour. Now is the time to arise. This is our finest hour. We're shining now as never before. And I'm just so thrilled to hear those testimonies. Again, not speaking politically, but President Trump, he made that declaration. He said, this is your finest hour. Now is the time to really take care of people and to really, you know, reach out, find out who needs what, and, you know, just respond, not just in word, but in truth. Let's pray. Father, in the authority of Jesus' mighty name, I just call your kingdom in and declare, let your will be done here. In Jesus' name, as we gather together as a forum, those that exchange ideas and hear the voice of the Lord together with you, King Jesus, we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We ask for that you would become brilliant among us, King Jesus, that you would shine Amen. With radiant light, that you would make the word of the Father known, and also that we would know him in deed and in truth. So have your will, Father, I pray, in the authority of Jesus' mighty name here tonight. We welcome revelatory angels, ministering angels, all that are needed to establish your will here tonight. There's no distance in the spirit. And I pray right now for supernatural intervention in our computers and in our networking and in all of the connections to video and sound and mic. I ask that you would right now just assign angels for all of us to make it all work beautifully. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Those of you that are joining us for the first time, this is a gathering that basically is to hear our hearts. If you look up the word, forum, it's literally a gathering of consensus where you come together, you share ideas, you share what the Lord is saying. In this setting, it would be, what is the Lord saying? We share thoughts, we share ideas, and we share with each other. My purpose is to, yes, give some instruction, but also to hear from you, to pray, to prophesy, to proclaim, and to release the word of the Lord in a more seasoned and unified way. And so that is the reason why I felt the Lord wanted me to start this. Amen, Mitzi. Happy National Day of Prayer. I want to hear about that from some of you in a little bit. But the reason why I felt I needed to start this, I felt prompted by the Spirit of God, is number one, I wanted us to be able to gather. I know we've been at home, we've been alone, and there's a lot of voices out there. And so I wanted us to kind of have a tempering and a wisdom stream to be able to kind of debrief, but also to pull out some of the hay and the stubble from some of the stuff we've been hearing. There's been a lot of information versus revelation. There's been some things out there that have been prophesied, I believe, that have been out of season. It was really encouraging to me to go onto a website with a very well-known pastor from a Nigeria named Chris, who has 1.5 million people in one church and over 100,000 in the one in South Africa. And he was teaching the same thing that I had heard, which really blessed me because it made me kind of think, okay, I must be hearing from God. And basically it's Daniel 7 through 10 where Satan tries to change seasons and laws. And in other words, Satan tries to pull into this season something that has been set aside for another season, namely that we're in the tribulation, it's the end of the world as we know it, and, you know, pack your bags, run to the mountains in fear, and, you know, just kind of get off the wall because the time is over, right? However, you have to balance what God is saying. God does not drive, he leads. God is love, he is not fear. So although it's okay to be aware, it's also important to kind of distinguish, is this ministering fear to me? Do I hear the voice of my Father in this? And is this for this season, or is Satan trying to bring it in right now? And how am I going to respond to it? Because it's on earth as it is in heaven. The prophetic forum is so that we can come together and proclaim the same thing, speak the same thing. We don't have to agree on everything, but the things that come out of our mouth needs to be in the seasons of God. We have to have the anointing as the sons of Issachar, which I'll be doing a study on. You've all been amazing to send me all kinds of stuff on it. I'll be studying that and sharing some of that with you. But the sons of Issachar knew the seasons and the times they were in, and they also knew what to do. It's very important that we know what season we're in and then what to do in that season, because every season there will be a different response to every season. And so that's kind of a brief overview. I'm going to share more with you on that a little bit later. I'm so glad that you are with us. I had a lot of things to share, but Mitzi had some things that I wanted to share, because I thought it was really, really beautiful. And that's kind of, I see, here's the deal. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what God's saying to you. I want to hear if you're having a dream. Right now, we're in a huge dream season right now. I have so many things I've wanted to talk to you about, because right now, dreams, people are dreaming like crazy right now. And I, you know, want to talk about dreams, the purpose of dreams, dream interpretation, just in a casual way. Most of you have already had classes on dreams and dream interpretation, but if you're having dreams, I'd love to interpret them for you. If you have something you'd like to say, please feel free to speak up. I also have a prophetic decree that I'd like to share with you later on. And so before I call on you, Mitzi, did anybody hear what happened with that National Day of Prayer? There was supposed to be an assembly. Did anybody hear about that?
Mm-hmm. I looked everywhere to find out what was going on with that, and I didn't see anything reported.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one with Michael W. Smith?
No, the one in Sacramento where they went to the Capitol.
I saw a new feed that had where the policemen blocked off the center of the Capitol Square so that the Christians can go in there to prayer, so they kind of formed a perimeter around the side. And the way that the headline, this is from the Sacramento Bee, was Gavin Newsom protesters go. I mean, they totally spun it.
Yeah.
Like it was a big protest for anti-Gavin Newsom protest. So they. That was how it was fun, and they even had a roaming reporter who kind of walked around and talked to people. And I just watched it for just a little bit, and then I just said,
So basically, I can see that. Basically, they didn't get to really pray at the Capitol, but they probably prayed around it. We'll, you know, God's so powerful and good. We'll just believe that. My sense, Kim, is it true then that they went ahead and they did have, the people did pray? Did people actually pray then?
When the time that I saw the report was probably about 10 a.m. They said there was about 200 people that had congregated, and some had masks on and some didn't, and there was a huge police presence there, and it wasn't anything like last year, because they couldn't even get the
ground. Okay. Well, you know, we just know where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is right there in the midst. Mitzi had the most amazing word, and Mitzi, actually she had a couple of things. I actually printed one of them, but Mitzi, why don't you go ahead and share what the Lord
said. Okay, first of all, I had a dream. I had a dream last night, and I saw the ocean, and the ocean waters in my dream was rescending. It was going in. It was going away from the land. And it was really kind of impressive because you could see the bottom of the ocean. And I'm going, what's happening in my dream? And as I looked to the islands by Santa Barbara, you know, there were no water around the islands. You know, those islands that you can see, there were no water. And as the water descended in, I looked at the ships, and the ships were like on bare, you know, ground. And the Lord kept saying to me in the dream, he's saying, I'm rescinding this virus. It's not going to touch land anymore. I'm taking it from the land. I'm taking it away. And I went, wow. And I just stood amazed because it was so impressive, this ocean water going in. And he said it again, I'm taking this away from the land. Like I'm taking it away from being on land. So that was really impressive. The other thing I had, Jeannie, which I don't have printed. I wonder if Phil and Tom have the word that Carla sent out. Carla sent it out on Telegram. Do you have that, Phil and Tom? From Mary Kay. Her name was Mary Kay, I think. She talked about the surprise attack.
While we're looking for that, let's respond. Now, this is what one of the things the Lord's bringing us into, and I've really had encouraging words from people to really step out and teach more. Michelle Frias is an amazing prophet. She's really encouraged me to step out and teach more on prophetic declarations, prophetic decrees, and prophetic proclamations. And so I really would like to, before we move on to the next thing, Mitzi, what was the proclamation, what was the decree that was said in that dream?
That the Lord was going to rescind the virus. He was going to take it from the land.
Okay, so let's agree with that. Let's agree. So Mitzi, I want you to take what the Lord said, because he gave it to you. You have authority. And I simply want you to decree it now in the name of Jesus, and we are going to agree with you.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're going to rescind this virus. You're going to take it from the land. It will not be any longer. It will not touch land. It will be gone, just like the ocean, just like that dream that you took the ocean, you're taking this virus. And it'll be done quickly, Father God. It'll be done quickly. And I thank you, Father God, for what we have ahead. I thank you, Lord, that you're rescinding. You're taking it away from land. You're taking it away in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. So virus be rescinded in the authority of Jesus' name.
In the authority of Jesus' name.
Amen.
I rescind it.
Amen. Yeah. How many of you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's agree with heaven that the Lord is pushing that back, rescinding it now in Jesus' name, that there will not be, let's not be in agreement with the enemy that says there will be a second wave. Do you hear me? Did you hear? Because on the news they said there's a second wave. Yeah. They literally used that word, didn't they, Mitzi? Mm-hmm. But God is saying, like a wave, I'm pushing it back. So in the authority of Jesus' name, we agree with heaven, and we stand in authority over this COVID pandemic, and we say in the authority of Jesus' name, goodness, we say in the authority of Jesus' name, no more.
Jesus' name.
We say in the authority of Jesus' name, no more.
No more.
In Jesus' name.
No more.
And in the authority of Jesus' name, we command that there will not be a second wave. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was talking about Pearl Harbor and how Pearl Harbor was a sneak attack.
Yeah.
And then it says this virus was a sneak attack. It was a surprise attack. And then it talks about that the vision was between Pearl Harbor and the sneak attack. an excited, violent, illegal seizure of power. And then it talks about the Lord showing us, just as terror cell hid into the country to infiltrate America, so the Lord have hidden away prophetic cells in different regions scattered through the country. And he has his prayer group out. He has his prophetic people out. And he talks about, in the name of Jesus, I ask a prayer that the church was a sleeping giant. It says that the actual church is a sleeping giant. Okay? And it talks about us asking for forgiveness on awakening of the church in America. And it says, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive me for my intentional sin. And I repent for being spiritually asleep when I should have been awake. I repent of allowing myself to be swayed by the opinion of man rather than the counsel of the Lord. And I repent for being complacent, for being lax in seeking your face. I choose to seek you and you alone. And it talks about Psalm 27. So it was very good. It talks about us and being with the Lord and being on top of it and praying. It's a very good thing. I'll send it out to whoever wants it. Okay?
Amen.
I'll send it out.
Because we were kind of asleep and unaware of the warnings of the Lord. Is that kind of what you got out of that, Mitzi?
Right. And the sleeping giant and the sneak attack on Pearl.
So, you know, so now the church is arising as the sleeping giant. We're kind of being awakened now.
Amen.
Uh-huh. And the Lord has his prophetic people out there.
Yeah, speaking. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm losing you.
I have muted everybody. So if you want to talk, unmute yourself.
Can I?
Yes, go ahead, Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie.
I was listening yesterday, Patricia King and Daniel Kalinda and somebody else, I can't remember. Oh, Stacy Campbell. And they were talking about why weren't the prophets talking about it, or why did this become a surprise? And they said, well, some did. But I think what happens, people become very used to the prophetic. And it's just, there's going to be a pandemic. And Chuck Pierce said it way back several months before. Yeah. And people just, because we don't know what it's going to look like. So when you hear that, you think, oh, well, okay. But I think now it's becoming more specific to really listen to the prophetic words that are coming now from those that are, you know, that have proven. They have proven ground that they are very much, you know, in tune with what God is saying, because the prophetic has been cheapened. And I'm just saying what I'm hearing right now is the prophetic has been cheapened because it's been used so flippantly. Mm-hmm. And when we get a real word about what's taking place, that I really feel like we're saying now we need to heed and pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that way we're the watchers on the wall, the watchmen on the wall, and we blow the trumpet when we see the enemy afar off.
Yeah.
So I feel like, because they kept saying, that was a good question. Why didn't, you know, a lot, why was this, so many were caught by surprise? So, so they really talked about that in a real balanced way, but I really feel like, I think now we have to really take it seriously when we, especially people that have a lot of credit, you know, as far as bringing a pure word, and it's not just popcorn prophecy, but it's truly a word, you know, from heaven. So I feel like that's kind of goes along with that, really, to really be on our toes.
Yeah, one of the things, thank you, Debbie, things that really surprised me, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but it's true, was how many people actually did know, and it's like nobody paid attention to them. And I know Debbie alluded to this. In Shepherd's Rod, Bobby Connor, back in fall, they had written down that there was going to be a pandemic. The company of prophets with Cindy Jacobs said that there was going to be viruses, global viruses. They didn't, I don't think they used the word pandemic. And then there's others like Tracy Cook and, you know, Johnny Enlow that had even more information. But I was really surprised, and I actually, like as many of you know, I really kind of felt badly. Like, I'm like, Lord, you could have just so easily shared that with me. But honestly, I'm wondering if, number one, I would have received it or believed it. If, would I have resisted it? Would I have prayed against it? Would I have believed that was from the Lord? Number two, who would have listened to me? You know? Who in the world is going to hear when Jeannie gets on a podium and says, there is a, you know, so I don't have the answers. And the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord, and the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children after us. And, you know, I really wrestled with the Lord on this, because he could have very easily, just as he tells us, anything he tells us, it's just as easy for him to tell us there's going to be a pandemic and prepare. But he also knows our hearts. He also knows our measure of faith. We prophesy according to our measure of faith. He also, but he also did, like I said, and I've shared with y'all, he also prepared us what, like what his comeback to me was basically, I gave you what the what the people needed to know once they were in the situation, you know, with the 2020, the decade of the pay, and we're going to talk maybe a little bit about that now, but 2020 literally means wings. We've been hiding under the wings of the Almighty. 2020 in Hebrew, the word, the letter 20 is a word that means feathers that cover, hands that cover, hands and feathers that cover, propel, protect, launch you into a new place. And basically the Lord was saying Psalms 91 is your portion during this season. And so that's been a good thing. But again, I, you know, there's some things that you're just like, it would have been just as easy for the Lord to tell me or Mitzi or Debbie or any of you here, Greg. Greg, did the Lord tell you, I'm going to unmute you, Greg, because I think I muted you. Greg, Michelle, did the Lord give you any understanding or ideas that this was going to be coming?
No. Not specifically a pandemic, but a difficult time. You can, you know, you can translate that into all kinds of different things, but a difficult time. And when you look at what's really happening, the pandemic itself has been difficult, but the economic shutdown has been absolutely horrendous. And you talk about difficult, that's very difficult. But he has also told me to fasten your seatbelts, because it will end. And when it does, you need to be ready to take off. And it isn't so much for revival. It's for a total and complete reformation. Kind of like the reformations back in the 1700s, where there were a whole lot of people in the U.S. who never even heard about Jesus. So you can't revive somebody that's dead, but you can reform those people. Yeah. And so it's going to be some kind of an incredible reformation. And you know what? As prophetic people, we can be ready to give a apt word in season to everybody we come in contact with.
Greg, so speak up just a little bit more. Talk a little louder, Greg.
Okay. We can be able, as prophetic people, to give an apt word to people we come in contact with as an encouragement, because you see, you're all going to be coming in front of people, and everybody's going to need some kind of encouragement, and God's going to give you those words, and they're going to be very simple, but they're going to pierce their hearts and set them free and give them hope. So there you go.
That's really good, Greg. For those of you who don't know, Greg and his beautiful wife, Michelle, which I can't wait till you actually are on the screen, hopefully by next week, because his wife is absolutely stunning, and I love her so much. She's my dear friend, Michelle. And Greg and Michelle are highly prophetic, but Greg is a prophet like
I don't know another prophet like Greg, actually. And he is one of those deep wells that literally, I'm going to say it like this. He marches to a different tune. He's not like a class like other prophets I know. And he is extremely accurate and wise. I think wisdom, his prophecies really carry word of wisdom, and he really knows how to unpack people's lives. The Spirit of God shows him things, not just past, but present and then future. And it's almost like a 10-page roadmap of this is where you went and this is what happened in your family. It's really beautiful. And so that's why I really appreciate what you said, Greg. And then I've heard that too. I've heard other prophets say, you know, the Lord showed them this was going to be a difficult time. They didn't know exactly what it was, but the Lord said, be ready, because it's going to be a very difficult time. And it's funny, because Chuck Pierce was saying that it would be extremely difficult the first part of this year, but he had had a word about a pandemic. He didn't always release that. And it's interesting. And I also want to go back to this. Jesus said, I have a lot to tell you, but you're not ready for it. And you know, he will give us what we can bear, not only prophetically to be able to release, but he will release in arenas what can the people bear, right? So it's very interesting. I think that there's a place for all the above, you know, regarding, like, for example, Arlene. I want to teach Arlene how to prophesy. I want her to learn how to, you know, the Lord says, Arlene, that the Lord says he's going to be giving you words that are going to bring healing. The Lord says you're a healer, Arlene. And the Lord says he's going to bring you into people's lives and people into your life. In fact, I see that the Lord bringing them into your life. They're actually brought to you. And you're going to speak by the inspiration of Holy Spirit in very simple terms, words of encouragement, words of blessing, and words to build them up. Now, that's simple prophecy. That's biblical. We are always going to need simple prophecy. We do not always need somebody standing in the middle of the Walmart parking lot doing a thus saith the Lord, John the Baptist, You know, in other words, there's different levels of prophetic gifting, anointing, and spirits of authority. And we need them all, because sometimes it's the simplest word that will change people's hearts towards them. On the other hand, when I started the prophetic classes that I just had in February and March, it was a school of the prophetic, and the Lord, through a situation where I missed it in God prophetically because I didn't obey him to give a prophetic word, he used that to galvanize in my heart that that you are responsible for the word I give you. And I remember one time Bill Hammond, for those of you that don't know, Bill Hammond is like a great-grandfather in the prophetic. He's been prophesying and raising up prophets for 60 years. And he said, Jeannie, I know the Lord says it's hard for you, daughter, to stand before people and give them a corrective word, but there's people I'm going to lead you to, and you need to speak what I tell you to tell them, and do not be afraid of their faces, because you belong to me, and my words are in your mouth. And it's kind of like that when it comes to the grid of the prophetic that we're in. Now, some of us are young in the prophetic, and our grid and our sphere and our faith in the prophetic, because you prophesy according to your faith and the anointing and the sphere in your life, your grid is going to be edification, exhortation, and comfort only. And in other words, if you can't write it on a Valentine card, don't say it. That's New Testament. That's not going to go away. That's going to change lives, deliver lives, bless lives. But what the Lord and David and I were talking about is this whole pandemic thing has opened up the grid of the possibilities of what is God saying. I never even had pandemic on my radar. I mean, I've had, you know, earthquakes. I've had assassinations. I've had government shifts and political shifts in other nations. I've had a lot of other things. And I've had the honor of even praying for future presidents in two countries. And I'd love for Greg to share some of that sometime, because Greg has had the same thing happen with him. And without naming names, how God brought you into that. Honestly, as far as end time events, the Lord has not shared that with me. And in his wisdom, he has not. You know, sometimes I wonder if, Debbie, I wonder if it's also because in my life, how much can I bear? If I say a word, honestly, and it's accurate, and all of a sudden Jeannie Richardson becomes known, what is that going to do to my marriage? What's that going to do to my ego? Is that what God called me into? Because honestly, some of these people, all of a sudden, you're in stardom. You know, the prophetic is a very, if you will, sexy gift, and if you name it and you speak it and it's accurate, and then suddenly you're on a global platform. Sometimes I think that we forget that God also wants to protect us. So what can we bear? You know, it's hard enough going to the few countries I have gone to. So people are called to different things. But see, at the same time, not only are you a gift as a prophetic voice, you're a gift to the body of Christ, and you are prophetic, but God's also working behind the scenes to say, you know what, you're my daughter, you're my son, and I'm also going to protect you. Does that make sense? I mean, you've seen that happen, right? Where somebody prophesied something, it came to pass. Remember that guy who was like the used car salesman, and now he's known all over the world because he prophesied 10 years ago that Trump was going to be president when he was like, you know, really, you're joking. But now he's like a household name. In other words, God is going to protect us too. So there's a whole lot going on. The bottom line is be obedient to what God calls you to do and be willing to let go of the things that we don't always understand. You know, there are some things, God keeps certain things, but because when I can't see his hand, I trust his heart, right?
Can I just...
Let me finish that one.
Okay.
But I will say, he did share through certain ones who could bear the fame,
right?
They could bear the applause of men, and they were mature, that already had spoken, there's gonna be a pandemic. Go ahead, right. Debbie.
I thought about Noah, and Noah didn't even have a grid for a flood because it didn't rain in those days. And for it to flood and, you know, all the stuff that happened, neither did the people have a grid. I think even when the people, like the very well-trusted, mature prophets like Chuck Pierce and different ones gave that word, there's a maturity and a level of that's their assignment. That's what God shows them. But also Noah, even though he told them, you know, he's building an ark, he's doing all these things, they had no grid. I think a lot of people, when they hear those kinds of things, there was no grid. What are you talking about? A pandemic? What? You know,
rain? What rain?
Goes, shoop,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, anyways, that's it.
Yeah. So powerful, really, really good. Stephanie, did you have anything you wanted to share, honey, before I start sharing a few things?
Can I just say something real quick? This is Mona.
Hi, Mona.
Hi.
My beautiful Egyptian friend. God bless you.
Thank you. I just wanted, like you were just saying, and Debbie was just saying, my kids, for example, they're young adults. And for them to say, like when I would share something like, you know, things are going to change and there's going to be like we're going to be under this one leadership, and they go, Mom, it's never going to happen in America. There's no way the American people would submit that way. But look at how everybody ran in their home and closed up everything because of a little tiny invisible virus that you can't even see with your naked eye. Look how the word of God, it's kind of funny, but look how powerful. And at the same time, I believe the Lord is just raising up the body of Christ. Like somebody said earlier, the sleeping giant is waking up, and the prayers and the intercession and proclaiming the word and speaking his will and his kingdom on this earth and whatever the Lord would have, you know, to have his way. I really believe that there's some exciting things coming, and like everybody's been saying, we need to be aware and alert and prepared in Jesus' name.
Really good, Mona. Absolutely. Absolutely, Mona. And, you know, Mona, I'm going to mute you, unmute. Oh, there you go. Good job. And but it goes back to what Greg was saying, and I've been hearing other prophets saying that we're going into such a season of acceleration. And I've heard prophet after prophet say that. And for me, I see such multiplication. I see us as seeds that have been buried in the ground. And that as even it's like we're home, we're kind of at rest in a hidden place. But Jesus said, as a seed dies alone, if it dies alone, it doesn't bear fruit. But if it dies to itself, and if it dies in the ground, it will bring forth multiplication. And I see, even with this, you know, there's so many things. David and I and so many of others of you are becoming more computer savvy, and God's opening up new possibilities. Promotion is in the wind, I'm telling you. When we come out of this, God is rearranging some things. And I think one of the things we'll have to learn is it might not look like it looked like before. And that's totally okay, because it's going to look better. And I do see that acceleration. I'll be honest with you. I have had impressions of some things. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to have to just keep praying, because I don't really know what to do with them. I mean, my feeling, and maybe this goes into what you're talking about, Debbie, and maybe this is why the Lord was like, there's a reason why I didn't tell you. I just want to pray and stop everything, right? I figure if Abraham can stop the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? If there be 10 righteous, and God co-labored with him. My job at this point is to pray into the things I'm seeing and feeling now in the spirit. And it's almost like all of a sudden there's this, I had a grid this big, you know, and now I have this huge prophetic grid, and it's like anything is possible, things I haven't even thought about before. And that will kind of take me into the word I wanted to share. But before I do share it, does anybody have something you wanted to add right now? Otherwise, I'm going to share. Pastor Tom, go ahead.
So yesterday I was cleaning out boxes of seminary notes from seminary courses. And God led me to the one that confirms what Greg said. So I was reading about the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, the Azusa Revival, and God was telling me it's more the Great Awakenings in terms of population today were small, but in terms of the population then, they were huge. And this is going to be greater than Azusa Street. This is going to be, like Greg said, it's going to be huge. That's all I got, but it's going to, you know, it's the third or fourth Great Awakening, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're into right now.
That's amazing. So amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's the whole thing. And I think we talked about this last week, the difference between revival, where the church comes alive. And we were talking about this with the Hebrides revival, Dive and Ginger, I do want to hear from you. That's why I unmuted you. But the difference, revival, the church comes alive. Awakening, a culture comes alive, a group of people come alive. You know, reformation and transformation is when a reformation is something new. There's a whole new structure. Transformation is where the structure that's already there gets completely changed. So it becomes systemic in society. It's like during these revival, we call them revivals just out of habit, but when there's a real transformation of society, all the bars shut down. Like with John G. Lake, Dave and Ginger, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. When John G. Lake, during his time, they said that it was the healthiest place in the world. You know, they were like, there's no diseases here, because all these people are getting healed. So
you know, it changed society. Bars shut down, you know, houses of prostitution shut down. I mean, there's a literal, like, what Greg was talking about, there's literally a transformation of society, and that's really what we'd like to see. But, you know, before you can have a transformation of society, you have to have a revival in the church. The church has got to become that awakened giant, so she's no longer that sleeping giant as that Mary Kay was prophesying. She's no longer a sleeping giant, but she's awakened, and that's what I'm seeing happening. And I think if somebody made a comment the other day, and they said, right now there's a real demarcation because of fear, as who are people of fear and who are people of faith? Even if they're Christians, are they bound in fear or do they have faith? Now, I'm not talking about a lack of wisdom and I'm not talking about rebellion, but I am talking about, you know, I hear the Lord say, who's your daddy? You know, I mean, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so I think it's really interesting because I think right now there is becoming a demarcation between those who are faithful with the Lord, Ha'aza, becoming faithful with the Lord, versus those that are still kind of fear-based. And I think the Lord is really going to address that. But I really believe it's our finest hour. It's going to be incredible the time we go into. Now, Ginger and Dive, are you still with us? I don't know. Yep. Oh, wait, maybe.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yep. Did you want to share something?
Yes. I'm just kind of listening today.
Okay, but good. But when you're ready to say something, Dive, Dave is an amazing seer. He sees in the heavenly realm. That's his beautiful wife, Ginger. Hi, baby. Love you.
No, so,
but Dave is a prophetic psalmist. Yes, hello, cute dog. Dive is a prophetic psalmist, and he is a very, very amazing seer. He sees angels. When he sings, there's an open heaven. And I am so missing going to the throne room with your worship right now, Dave. He just really carries the presence, doesn't he, Elizabeth?
Jeannie?
Yeah. So, before I go into what I wanted to share with you, did anybody have anything else you want to share?
Well, I was going to say one thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The dogs are over there fighting on the grass. Just the sense I'm getting in the spirit right now is that the Father's desire, just Father's great desire, just to bless people, just to pronounce blessings on people. I think before everyone kind of saw, and I'm not saying this as us particularly, but saw, you know, religious people, Christian people as judgmental and this and that. And I think God, the Father, is really giving us just this heart, just to walk up to people and say, you know, I blessed you in the name of the Father. I just want to see a blessing come on you. You know, all the judgments are coming down on the powers that be, you know, the dark places that are coming out right now. But for everybody else, it's just like, God wants, I want to use the name Father. Father wants to bless us.
Yeah.
I've been reading Psalms 120 through 135. They're called the songs of ascent, and my understanding is that as they would step up each step into the temple from the women's court up to the next court, they'd recite one of these short psalms, and almost every one of them is a blessing. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in obedience. Prosperity will be yours. Just the blessings.
Wow.
So that's just kind of where I've been.
That's amazing. Now, Di, those were which psalms?
Oh, Psalms 120 through, I think, 134.
Oh, those are beautiful. I have to remember that.
It's called A Song of Ascent, and there's like 14 or 15 of them, starting with 120.
Wow. And when did they read those, Dive? When did they read those?
Well, according to the Wikipedia page, if you can trust Wikipedia, the rabbis, the priests, there's 14 or 15 steps that went from the women's court up to the next section, if I'm getting this right, and on each step they would recite one of these.
Yeah.
One of these short psalms. They're usually only about 7 or 8 verses long, most of them.
Wow. Amazing.
And they're all They're amazing. All, except one or two, are very similar. It's bless the Lord. You know, he wants to bless you coming and you're going.
Yeah.
Your children are a heritage. I'm just kind of browsing for them.
Yeah.
And amazing. When you read, if you read them, you'll say, oh, I've heard that one before. I've heard that one before. I've heard that one before.
So good. So good. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you thank you for sharing, Dave. That's awesome. Now, listen, if any of you want to share, please wave at me or unmute your mic. And Victor, yes, and then Elizabeth, we'll come back to you. So, I'm sorry about all the background noise. If the sun's gone down, so all the peacocks are all talking to each other. Sorry about that. Elizabeth, I'll come right back to you. Victor, go ahead.
Okay.
And speak up, brother.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, just a few things. I'm kind of going to echo a few things that were already said. The first thing I'd like to address is why some did not know that this was coming. But I would like to say in the churches that I've been going to, the Lord has been preparing those ready for this. We did not know I did not know anyway, that it was going to be a virus, but he did get us ready as far as ministering the word, studying the word, so on that, in that respect, I do want to say that. And then also, the scripture comes to mind that we already know that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 21, do not stifle the Holy Spirit, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said, hold on to that which is good. So what I've been receiving, that this is a season of focus and not to be distracted by all the different things that we are seeing, but to stay focused on the assignments that each of us have, and that along the lines of I forgot who was it about the water that was mentioned earlier.
Mitzi had a dream about water, and the water was rescinding, like the COVID was rescinding. So instead of that second wave, they're saying we're agreeing with heaven that it's actually rescinding like an ocean wave.
Okay, and what I've seen in the spirit is another water, the water of the Holy Spirit inundating the whole planet with the gifts and the restoration of the relationships with God, and that it is the Holy Spirit doing this, activating his people regardless of their denominations, but activating his our Father's word in the aspects of everything, all the sciences, history, forensics, logic, that all these different disciplines are pointing to God, and that God is doing this through his people. Another thing too is that I've also in the spirit, I saw that this is prior to the virus, that the Lord was going to send forth his word outside of the temple walls, that he was going to accelerate his message throughout the planet, and that he was busting his word out from the temple walls, churches, and also that those who were going to be leaders in this aspect, we were going to take over everything, the airwaves, the internet, the neighborhoods, all that. And just to echo again that this is one of our finest hours, that we are going to love, that people are going to see love your neighbor as yourself, that we're going to be an example of the abundance that God has given to each one of us. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the Christians that I'm talking to, they are passing out food, they're passing out toilet paper, they're actually giving things away from what our Father God has already put in our household. Yeah. And we're just being good stewards. Yeah. and not worrying about, hey, we are giving this out. The supermarkets are not our source. The government is not our source. Our Father is our source. And then lastly, just lastly, is the scripture that I received today for the body of Christ is, let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. And that's 1 Chronicles 16, verse 24. So those are part of the notes that I just read. And lastly is that we are going back to, not going back to, but the scripture, John 3:16, John 1:12, and also Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, where Jesus Christ tells his disciples, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed on by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Amen, Victor. So good. Thank you. One of the dangers, and that I remind people of that scripture, is it's not for you to know the time and season. And then there's other places where Jesus' mother, she said they've run out of wine, and Jesus is that, you know, what does that have to do with me, woman? My time is not yet. And yet she turns and she says, do what he says. And she pulled into the season something meant for another season. So it's really important that we agree with God in the seasons we're in now. We are in the season of grace. We are in the season where the gospel of the kingdom is to go forth. We are not in the tribulation. We have to be careful when people mix the prophetic revelation with a season in time that is not yet. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, God has not appointed us to wrath. He's not pouring out his anger upon us. And then the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, it goes on to say that at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we which are alive will be caught up to be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it talks about that there will be wrath, judgment, and things poured out on the earth that God has not destined for us to walk in. Because it goes on to say, comfort each other with these words. If we're supposed to be going through all the asteroids and the horrible things that are going to happen to the earth in the end times in the book of Revelation, it wouldn't say comfort each other. Because why? We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Now, this is a wind up. Is there bad things going to happen? Yes. But we can push them back. We can cause them to abate. We can cause them to subside. And we can actually cause them to stop as we partner with heaven with the decree, with the declaration, and with the proclamation. I want to thank, where's my Michelle? There she is. I want to thank Michelle for forwarding me the teachings on that.